Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Setters, where he takes great care of us every morning. And that is in the producer's suite next door, so we appreciate his help and hard work. He's why the WKOK podcast page will have our interview on it in about 13 minutes from right now. On the news line with us now, Dr. Chris Martin is back. He's the David Burpee Professor of Plant Genetics and Research at Bucknell University. He's a biology associate department chair at Bucknell as well. And maybe the whole world knows about this. He's the host of Plants Are Cool Too. Good morning, sir. Thanks for checking back in again.
Sure thing. Good morning, Mark. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. This has been a great relationship, and we really appreciate you. You've given us tons and tons to think about. You've put Lewisburg students on the global map in terms of botany, and, well, you kind of convinced us plants are cool, too. You helped us find the ultra-rare plants that are in our immediate area and really helped us keep an eye on our planet, so we appreciate it. At this time last year, you introduced us to hashtag PlantsGiving, and turned out to be really a global phenomenon. Tell us about hashtag PlantsGiving and the growing momentum for this whole conversation.
Yeah, this is a thing that a bunch of the botanists of the United States have come together on now for 4 years, where every time around Thanksgiving holiday, we decide we're going to count the number of plant species that are in each of our meals. It's a way of raising the awareness of plant diversity. It's amazing how many different plants we actually use on a daily basis. And when we make something like such a big Thanksgiving feast, when you really start to look at the number of plants you use, the numbers can get really high. So we're in year four. It's our Olympic year, and we're psyched about people maybe reporting on a whole lot of numbers of species they're going to eat this Thanksgiving.
Well, now I'm having turkey, so...
Uh-huh.
How's the plant,
right, well,
how do plants
you
factor
turkey,
in?
But yeah, everything else on your table, more or less, is going to be some kind of plant product, right? So you think about just the common vegetables and things you might serve around that turkey, the potatoes and the carrots and the string beans, they're all each an individual plant species. And then when you start to dig deeper and look at your ingredients, you know, spices and herbs and the things that you might drink in, you know, as parts of your beverages and your desserts, the number of plants really just grows. Last year, my family had about 60 different species on the table, and we really didn't even try that hard.
Well, and what's the turkey eat? Would be a good question. Some sort of a protein-intensive plant product, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure we can count that, but you know, that's a good indirect plant product right there.
Well, we certainly know wild turkeys are out foraging for, you know, nuts and things and acorns and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll assume that the domesticated turkeys are doing about the same thing. Well,
sure.
Why is it important that we bring this up? Of course, we know this tongue-in-cheek, so we got that out of the way, that plants are really a critically important part.
Yeah, right.
But there's a conversation about why this is impactful and why we should keep this in mind.
Yeah, I mean, this sort of started, I think, with a few of us doing these as activities in our classes at different universities around the country, and having our students, you know, sort of go home on their Thanksgiving break, but, you know, students that are in botany classes already, and said, okay, just look closely at the number of different plant species that you're using, and if we start to think about, like, okay, like, we rely as humans on not just a couple of species, right, for food and other things, but we actually rely on hundreds of different plant species for daily life, and understanding that diversity of plants that's out there is important to our own survival, I think is part of the idea here.
What if you were 100% successful and every man, woman, and child on the planet was aware of PlantsGiving, kept it top of the mind, was thinking about the challenges that our planet faces right now? What might change if everybody had this awareness?
Gosh, I mean, I think that would be pretty neat, first of all. But I think, you know, this understanding that we are one species that's part of this really giant, big global ecosystem, and you know, all the different species on Earth kind of play some role in keeping that whole thing running, right? Like, we're still discovering new species every day as scientists, and every one of those plays some critical role in keeping this whole big planet running. And when we lose species, right, that's not just a sort of this emotional loss for somebody like me, but it can actually mean that the planet doesn't work quite as well, right? So an awareness of biodiversity and the things we share the planet with, I think, is healthy for all sorts of reasons.
What's our plant print? How much of an impact have we had on the plants in the world? We've certainly made some grow in ridiculous abundance, but at the same time, as you mentioned, some are gone.
Yeah, we've, you know, there's some work that's been done the last few years showing that there's been dozens and dozens of plants in North America alone that we, you know, knew existed and are now gone, now extinct. And so we've had some footprint on that. You know, that's sad for me too, but I think it should be sad for everybody. These things that exist that are, you know, actual living creatures on Earth that were here one moment and then gone the next and never going to return again. And so I think it's pretty important that we protect the cool things that are out there.
When you went to botany school, they did not have a social media course or chapter or segment, but yet that's critically important to you and your fellow botanists. I mean, if we think back to hashtag Black Botanist Week and the good professor there that keeps us up to date about that. And,
yeah, Tanisha Williams.
Right, and how much you've talked about just spreading the word about plants are cool, too. Tell me about this social media impact and how critical that is to scientists now.
It's really critical. One of the things that I've been covering in a course I'm teaching right now about science history is that, you know, for a few centuries, the way that scientists communicated their information was, you know, you'd write a book or you'd give a public lecture and hope people showed up. And it took a really long time for that kind of information to get out to people. But today, you can tell people about a new discovery you've made in less than a second, right? You click a button and boom, it's out there in the world. So social media and other electronic forms of media, you know, even making YouTube videos, is just this really incredible way to disseminate knowledge and let people know about the things that science is discovering and new understandings that are, you know, happening literally every day.
If I were going to replant my garden in the spring or replant our property, what might I start to keep in mind if our plants and our planet were going to be my primary concern?
Yeah, I think this whole idea that a diverse landscape is a healthy landscape is another way to also look at our yards and our gardens. Plants often make the sort of, you know, they're sort of the underlying, you know, I guess, habitat that all sorts of other things are going to respond to. So if you're planting a diversity of different plants in your yard, you're going to attract different types of insects, including pollinators. You might attract different kinds of insects that songbirds might want to eat. And suddenly you've sort of built this scaffolding where you've now got a diversity, not just of plants, but of all sorts of other animals and wildlife. And I think if we focus on wanting to grow more species and support more species, that's a good thing for the properties that we maintain.
When we talked to Dr. Capaldi over there, she basically said that if everybody who plants any plants would plant some pollinators too, we really would not be in the situation that we're in right now with so many threats to pollinators and to our planet. And is there any go-to place to kind of get great information, to kind of bone up on this topic, to try to get your plant and planet literacy elevated?
Yeah. I think there's lots of places to look, but here in Pennsylvania, if anybody were to look up the Pennsylvania Natural Heritage Program, they could find a lot of resources there. There's all sorts of there's all sorts of stuff they've shared online, and they have scientists and people on the ground every day looking at the biodiversity of the state. So Natural Heritage Program is a great place to start.
That would be a perfect starting point. And I know that at the bottom of their blog, they have it's link after link after link to get more information. So great suggestion. Yeah, thank you for that. Well, Dr. Martine, we'll give you the last word. What's coming up on Plants Are Cool, too? What else should we know?
Yeah, we've got we've had a bit of a hiatus on our YouTube show given the last couple of years, but I think we've got some pretty cool ideas coming up. And Dr. Williams, who you mentioned earlier, and I are probably going to be heading to Australia finally, if 2 years of being delayed, to go and try to discover some new things out there this summer. And I think we're going to come back with some video footage and make a pretty exciting YouTube video about our experience in the western desert of Australia.
All right. Well, that sounds fantastic. And I'm sure the globe will be aware you're there, and the research will be productive for everything. Chris, can we see you anywhere on stage or in front of a microphone? We found out you were an accomplished singer during the pandemic, and we know you perform as well. You got anything coming up?
I got nothing but showing up for my classes for the next 2 weeks and then giving a couple final exams.
All right. Well, good for you. Well, enjoy. And I know you'll be at shows enjoying those great family up there.
That's so, for sure.
Rachel and your great smart kids. So we appreciate the impact they're having on the world, too. Thank you so much, Dr. Martin. And Chris, enjoy your Thanksgiving.
You too, Mark, and everyone out there. Happy Thanksgiving.
Dr. Chris Martin, yes, musician, but David Burpee, professor of plant genetics and research at Bucknell, and biology associate department chair right now at Bucknell, host of Plants Are Cool Too. Go to YouTube to see these. Lots of those. He did one segment at the AOAA that's real reachable for folks like me, and you can see him rappelling off the cliffs of Shikellamy State Park Overlook trying to find a plant that is ultra, ultra rare and has been discovered in our area, and some insects attracted to it. Super rare as well. And you can look at the WKOK podcast page, and we have his interviews with Dr. Capaldi there and Tanisha Williams and all kinds of information about taking great care of our planet. He suggested the Pennsylvania National Heritage Program, so also a great go-to.